have a majority of weaklings and a minority of strong people. Every people, not only us, every people. That is the will of God. God has created the nature to evolve the best, and the best is supposed to bring up the less. Yes, yes, God has evolved, created things that evolve the best.
Right.
And the best, once they evolve, they're supposed to bring up the rest. Bring them up by least, care for them as children if they insist upon being children while they are grown-ups. Yes. Now, some of us don't like this language. But when a person is mentally impaired and they have to go to a mental institution and has to be cared for all the time and works 24 hours a day, we accept that no matter how old he is, the old he is 40 years old. Don't treat him like that. He has to be treated like that. It is mercy and kindness to treat him like that. And let me tell you something. There are many of us in the public of all nationalities, Europeans, Asians, Africans, of all nationalities, there are many of us, all national origin, there are many of us grown men, 21, 41, 61, 71, 81, 91, that are by clinical classification sane, but are totally irresponsible and must be cared for by children. And that's mercy and kindness of us to care for that person as a child. We shouldn't insult him and say, boy. Don't insult him and say, boy. We have to respect what Allah has created him to be and say, mister, but treat him as a child. Because he's not capable of anything else. He's not ready for anything else. He's not ready for a different treatment. Mr. John, come over here and treat him as a child. A sister Mary, come over here. Treat her as a child. She must be treated as a child because she needs it so badly. And she can't survive except that she gets that kind of treatment. Yes, that's mercy and kindness. It's not disrespect. It's only disrespect when you say, you dumbbells.
That's right.
We enlighten people in the religion, and I'm not speaking of just Muslims but others. We enlighten people in the true idea that God has given to us. We enlighten people, we respect the sacred vessel, though the mind has lost its senses. We respect what Allah intended that creature to be, though that creature has fallen somehow off the great, 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 great pedestal. Huh? Yes, we have to respect what Allah intended to be. So we respect the human that Allah created, although the person is not capable of respecting the excellence of that is in the human Allah created. We must respect that. So even though the person is dumb and ignorant in his behavior, we don't say, hey boy, come here. I say we, I mean those the best of us. We know you can go to Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Asia, Chicago, what are you talking about? Chicago, Kansas City, and you'll find some Muslim behaving in ignorance. Boy, come here. And be talking to a grown-up man. Hey, boy, get your so-and-so over here. But that's just ignorant bad behavior that we will find in the majority. Allah evolves a minority. And that minority should be responsible for bringing up the rest, or at least serving the well-being and good future of the rest. Some would even charge that we are people who have false pride. You cannot typecast us that way, because our religion condemns these things as major sins. The media, in its treatment of Jews overseas in Muslim lands, have carefully and very, very subtly concentrated on certain figures as Idi Amin, Gaddafi of Libya, Khomeini, who has passed, and may God forgive him his sins if he had any, and admit him to the paradise. I mean that from my heart. But they have made it a point to put these kind of figures before us. Before they were putting these figures before us, who they published in America for you to look at as a Muslim leader? Elijah, Muhammad, my father. Elijah, Muhammad, my father. So in doing this, in favoring the presentation of certain people, of certain types of characters, and not presenting others that are in the majority of the people are not of my father's type and character. The majority of the leaders in that Islam, in the Muslim lands, and in the Muslim world, are not of the character and type that my father was. Majority of them are not like Idi Amin. Majority of them are not like Qaddafi. And I have great respect for all these people I know. Don't think that I have a desire to disrespect or insult them. No. Everybody have good and bad. And in their situations, they're excellent. In Qaddafi's situation, he has been excellent. You don't know the situation if you think otherwise. I know what colonial dominators did for Libya. I know how they treated the Libyans. I know what the Libyans had to do and how they had to sacrifice and the blood they had to shed to get respect, or at least to get them to get off their backs. So I say, given the circumstances, yes, Qaddafi has behaved in an excellent way. Given the circumstances, Idi Amin behaved in an excellent way. They used to make Idi Amin as a young man, that he came to visit the office of any of the colonial powers who occupied his land. When he came to visit the office, what did he have to do? He had to bend down. They made him bend down and walk in like this, and then stand up and speak to the ruler or the one in charge when they were dominating his land. So what did he do? When he got in power, he built a door so low that nobody could come into his office. See, that's what the media won't tell you about Idi Amin. They just tell you, oh, he's unruly, he's unpredictable, his mind is taken over by syphilis. They tell you all that stuff. He's a crazy man. He's a despot. Despot means that he imagines that he has absolute power, like a god almost, you know. That whatever he says has to be and has to go, and whatever he wills has to happen. That's the makeup of the mark of a despot. So they want us to see Muslims as despots. They want to see Muslims as despots. Now I mentioned Elijah Muhammad. Some of you probably say, well, he shouldn't mention Elijah Muhammad in that kind of reference, in that kind of context. But let me tell you, I have no problem admitting that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad presented himself as a dictator. He presented himself as an absolute authority. You didn't question him, you had to obey what he said, you had to do it. We were afraid to even ask him sometimes an intelligent question, because we thought that it would imply a little act of disbelief. So, I'm his son, I knew him. And there are many people who follow him, they know. In fact, my sister is here, Sister Raya. My sister knew him before I did. She's here, and she looks so young, look like I knew him before she did. But I'm the older, she's older. So we got many people here, witnesses, they knew him. Many of these brothers, some brothers out here, I see some faces. They have been in the private company of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and they knew him close up. In fact, we have one here who was as close to him as I was, maybe even closer, because he had to stay with him in his old age and care for him and be with him constantly, and I didn't. And that's the excellent man that I tip my hat to all the time, Brother Albert Kareem. Will you stand, Brother Albert Kareem? Please stand. And I can't help, though it's not particularly in line with the talk that I'm giving, but I have to also go off the subject and mention the one who's sitting right next to him, the man that I salute, man that I respect. To me, he's my father. Those men, they're like my bosses. That's right. I respect them as I would my boss, and that is my son, Jordan. Please stand up. Great man, great man. Thank you. He knew my father before I did. He preached my father's the message of the teaching of my father, who was called for God, and preached my father's teachings before I knew anything about it. The man that just stood up there, Marcellus Jordan. So I knew, if I was going to tell outrageous lies, I wouldn't pick this time. I wouldn't pick any time. I love truth. Yes. Yes. So why did they let the Honorable Elijah Muhammad be in the background for so long? They know that the African American has been denied attention. He has been denied acceptance. He has been denied recognition in the public's eye, recognition in the world's eye. And they knew that psychologists told them, leave him in the dark, leave him in the background, keep him hid. For as long as he's hid, he's going to try to be seen. And that's going to make him grow. We want him to grow. We want his religion to grow. We want his following to grow, so that we can show this picture of Muslims in America and get people to think that this is Islam. Yes! So they kept him in the dark for a long time. And then when the time was best for them, not for Elijah Muhammad, but when it was best for them, they needed something to discredit Dr. Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, the civil rights movement. They needed something to discredit that. They didn't have any decent justification. The intelligent ones, the civilized ones, had no decent justification to deny what Dr. King and the civil rights movement was all about. No. So they needed someone to rebut them, someone to fight them, someone to oppose them, someone to criticize them. Hey, here's time for this group that we have been working on, this group that we've been keeping in check and letting just grow in a good incubator. Oh, it's time to let them out now, let them out of the incubator, and let them come out here and let them do our work of holding the civil rights movement back. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was projected at that time. It was during the 60s. When the civil rights movement came to its fullness, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's movement came to its fullness during the 60s. After that, both went down. And how did they go down? The system. The wicked bosses in the system. Their policy makers designed it that the two were to neutralize each other, so that the African American people could never come to a unified purpose, a unified direction, a consistent direction and sense of where they should be going. So we had the civil rights movement rejecting Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his movement for independence, for separation and then independence of African American. They were two giving their people a choice. Here, who you want? Who you want? Civil rights movement or the Nation of Islam? Who you want? And knowing that many of our African American people have been conditioned over the long period of history and abuses to want to get the hell away from all white people. Right. But also knowing that there are many others that had enjoyed association with whites as students of theirs, as cooks of theirs, as doormen of theirs, as chauffeurs of theirs, as teachers of theirs, etc., etc., etc. So there would be a great number of them that wouldn't want to get away from whites. They would have a strong compulsion to get more girls to be their whites. And for many, many reasons. We don't have the time to deal with all of it. For many, many reasons. Now, I am saying that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was presented to us in America as the Muslim. But they didn't say the Muslim just only. They said leader of the black Muslims. Leader of the black Muslims. Why leader of the black Muslims? so you would not be hearing that there are other Muslims than blacks. They want us to think that the Almighty Muhammad Muslim are the only Muslims. And don't you know, many of us still in the population of the United States are not aware of the 1 billion, hundreds of millions of Muslims in Africa, in Asia, and all over the world. Many of us right now, many of us African Americans, we are not aware of that. When we hear Muslim, we think Elijah Muhammad and his followers, Farrakhan, Malcolm, that's about it. When the truth of the matter is, and this is refuting the lie. The truth of the matter is, and if you want to get check the source that I'm quoting from, the book that I'm now referring to is titled "Race and the Democratic Society" by a scientist of human behavior, human history, and nature, Franz Franz Boas, B-O-A-S. In this book, he is dealing with the evil of racism and is part of it. But the book itself is dealing with the need to serve true democracy and the importance of the need in a democracy that every intellect be free, that the intellect of man be free. So that was his main object in writing that book. But he deals very seriously with racism in that book also. And what does he give as his strongest argument against the charge of the races, that we are inferior, that the children of Africa, the people of Africa, are inferior, that Negroes in America, as it was called in their book at that time, called Negro, are inferior? What is the main argument that he gave to refute that? He said, he quoted visitors, men of stature and intellect from the Western world that made visits into Africa, in the Sudan, and other places where Muslims were, before the colonial people had changed everything so much. And he gave that report saying that these particular people who did it, they found a striking difference in the mentality and attitude and disposition of the Muslim black from that of the other blacks that they had met and non-Muslim classification. He said they were industrious, and he points to Askia, that's one of the great Muslim leaders in the past history of the African people. Sumiani and others. He talked to them, and one of them, we said of him, that this man is a clear argument against the racist belief that the black or the African people, the African man, cannot rise to the same level of the European man. So because this man ruled over his people and brought them dignity, self-respect, industry, science, and civilization on a high level. Said that there was public decency, respect for life, respect for property, respect for work, respect for science and industry. Some of us can't imagine that there was science and industry. Don't you know science and industry has been around for a long time? Some of us think science and industry began with the invention of the steam engine or something. Yes, we're just that naive. Yes, so science was around here 5,000, this is recorded, 5,000, maybe even 6,000 more years ago. Science was being practiced in Africa. Yes? Also in Asia, many thousands of years ago. And perhaps if they keep researching, they'll find it in Europe. In fact, the white man has to find it in Europe. He's working on it. I don't blame him. I wouldn't be working on it too. Yes. You know, even though he has been so far out of hold of everybody else, you know, looked like he was saying, well, hell, I don't care if they did beat me yesterday. Look where I am today, you know. But still, some of them want to prove that they were even up there yesterday, you know. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. Now, to say that this religion now has fed fanaticism, emotional blindness, false pride, despotism, tyranny, racial supremacy, racial arrogance. Because you know what they tried to do with Dr. Elijah Muhammad? They tried to publish him and say, oh, you think white supremacy is bad? Here's black supremacy. And he's a Muslim. Domination of females. All these charges levied at the Muslim. Levied at the Muslims, pardon me. And they all are false. It was Prophet Muhammad who gave incentive to every male, because the males before the preaching of Prophet Muhammad, the advent of Prophet Muhammad, the males had been savagely treating their females. They saw their females as their property, same way many of you see your females today in the West. They saw their females as their property. And they didn't even respect even the most sacred formalities, marriage and divorce. Whenever they wanted to divorce a female, they would simply say, be to me as my mother's rear, which is a terrible and ugly insult. Should have been punishable by at least 80 lashes, if it were a civilized society. But they did that. They used to have sex in the road in the broad daylight. They marched around the Kaaba in the noon, performing the rituals. And many other things we can tell you about that time. They prided themselves in having men for their warring clans, for their work chores, and etc. But they valued men so much that it caused them to devalue women so much that they often buried the female alive rather than to acknowledge that they had a female child, another female was born. This is all in the Holy Book. And for want of time, we have to keep moving. So that's the kind of society the Prophet came to. And he gave incentives to the males, because the females had been held back. He said, if any male will educate two daughters, Allah will give him the paradise. Now, how is this religion now, a religion that want to suppress or hold women down, when the Prophet gives the incentive to all, that's to us now. Whatever the Prophet said is for yesterday and now. The same invitation is given to us now. Any of us who will spend time and interest to educate two of his daughters, we deserve paradise. According to the teachings of the Prophet, we will get paradise. That's for then and now. Don't you know it is education that provides the best situation for liberation and equality? No other situation than the liberal education provides the situation best for human beings to rise up into equality. Not only females, but we are missing now corrective education. We are missing correct education. The emphasis are wrong for us in education. The African American people have lost a sense of priorities for us as a people in our given condition. We have lost the sense of priority. We have lost what our leaders had during the earlier days of our time. And I'm speaking of those in the South, those in the work field, going all the way back to Sojourner Truth, all of them, and the later ones, Dr. King, Benjamin Mays and all of these excellent people, many of them, they had a better perception and a better grasp on what we should be about as a people, where our emphasis should be, where our priorities should be in education and in life and everything than you have now. We're fallen. And we don't need anybody to preach that to us and to force us to believe that. All we have to do is just walk through the African-American population, walk through the cities where we are, and see that anyone functioning in the people as a human being. And we know that we have fallen. We have fallen, we have fallen, we have fallen low from what we were. Although there are still an excellent number, that few that is needed to lift us all up. If we would just come together and organize and get more serious and have more courage and not be defeated by what's going on in the African-American population, but have the courage to say, hey, we can handle this. I'm not saying we don't have the excellent people. We still have the excellent people. But majority of us, the great multitudes, have gone crazy as shit. Excuse my figure. Crazy. So crazy they frighten a primitive man from the jungle.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Man come out of jungle and never feeds of it. And want to integrate with white people and better class people. Man, yeah, we got to help those children, please. Now, there's much that I would like to offer today in support of the position I established when I began this address. And that is that the best argument to deal with all these lies and misconceptions is established when we conform to the best that we claim. Then they can lie, but people say, no, that's a lie. I see those people. So in my conclusion, let us not fail ourselves. Peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum.
Oh, Yeah, I'll see you after that. That would also... Yeah. Yes.